Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
So this is the greatest news ever. It's going to come as a pronouncement into the world. We're going to send the angel. He's going to proclaim the good tidings of great joy, tell about the birth of the Messiah who is the Savior and the Lord. Okay, where do we send him? Well, think of where he wasn't sent. He wasn't sent the power centers of the world.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian pauses his study in the book of Hebrews. Join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching on the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, in a message titled, What Christmas is All About. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
You know, it's hard to believe that it was 50 years ago that a Charlie Brown Christmas made its debut on CBS. Much to the consternation of the CBS executives, Charles Schulz, the writer of course, the Peanuts comic strip, Charles Schulz insisted that the film would clarify the true meaning of Christmas over against the commercialization and secularization of the day. And how many of you have seen a Charlie Brown Christmas? All right, so you know what I'm talking about. And you know that he succeeded in communicating that message when Linus recited Luke's account. Linus recited that and then turns to Charlie Brown, who was all perplexed about, you know, why he wasn't happy and, you know, what was the meaning of Christmas really all about. So Linus recites Luke 2, and then he just looks at Charlie Brown and he says, that's what Christmas is about. And that is what Christmas is about. And of course, 50 years down the road, we still have the commercialization, we still have the secularization. For many people, even in our own culture today, they don't really make the connection between what we are doing here today, what we are going to be doing this week, and the birth of Jesus. But of course, that's what Christmas is. And so, like I said, I think it would be good to just take a closer look at the passage and for ourselves, just be reminded once again of what Christmas is really all about. So we begin with the pronouncement of the angel to the shepherds. And what was it? Behold, or first of all, the angel said, don't be afraid. And it's to this group of shepherds. We don't know how many there were, but they were in a field there outside of the city of Bethlehem. And the angel comes, he says, do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. That's the first thing that we need to just stop and think about. Christmas, the message of Christmas, is the greatest message ever. I mean, certainly to date, when the angel made this pronouncement on this day, this was the greatest message that the world has ever heard. I would say it still is, except there's a little more to it than was realized initially there on that particular day, because we know that the baby that was born would grow up and ultimately would offer himself as a sacrifice for sin. And in doing so, he would provide forgiveness of our sins, and he would destroy death and rise from the dead. But it all was put in motion on this particular occasion. And so the angel says, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Do we realize that? That's what the gospel is? Of course, the word gospel means good news. But these are good tidings of great joy. This is great news. And regardless of the bad news that we're almost constantly subjected to, none of that eclipses this good news. None of that should overshadow this good news, because this good news that we're talking about here is the good news that is going to dominate the scene in the future. So since it's going to dominate the whole universe in the future, it should dominate our hearts today, regardless of what might be going on around us. You know, it's easy for us, even as Christians who believe in these things, isn't it easy for us to just get discouraged ourselves, to get down, to become depressed? I mean, we look at the world, we look sometimes at our own personal circumstances, and many times we, the people of all people who should know what it is to be joyful, many times we're not joyful. But we can be, and we should be, because we are the recipients of these good tidings of great joy. And so that's what this message is. It's a message of great joy. The hearts of men and women all around the world, God's intention through this message is that our hearts would be filled with joy. So what are the good tidings of great joy? Well, they are that there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That's the great news right there. There has been born to us a Savior. Now, when you think of the idea of a Savior, of course, you think of somebody who's in trouble. You think of somebody who needs to be rescued. You think of a Savior as a deliverer. And so that is indeed the case. Jesus has been sent by God into the world to save us. Well, you think of one of the Christmas hymns, to save us all from Satan's power when we had gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. And truly, that is the case. Jesus came as a Savior to save us from the power of Satan, the destructive power of Satan. Human history manifests over and over again the destructive power of Satan. Jesus came to deliver us from that. He came to save us from that. But he also came to save us from the sin that is that destructive force that works within our own souls, that manifests itself in our own lives. It's such a wonderful thing to have a Savior. It's such a wonderful thing to have been delivered from these things. You know, I think back at my own life or the lives of the so many people I know, and remembering my own experiences in some cases, or looking at somebody or talking to somebody and remembering their past and thinking about the destructiveness that might have at one time been very much a part of their lives. Maybe it was through addictions, or maybe it was through hatred, or maybe it was through involvement in crime, things like that. And you see people who have been saved from that. They've been delivered from that. That's no longer the story of their lives. And where maybe in time past, previous Christmases were just the worst time of the year, because that's when everybody got together and all the sinners collectively engaged in their selfishness and everything else. And it just was a miserable time. I think back as a kid and remember times where growing up in a family where there was alcoholism and things like that, you know, some of our family gatherings were less than enjoyable. But then to experience the salvation that comes through the Savior, and to have all of that changed, and to have all the joy and all the love now, and the family gatherings are so wonderful, and they're a joyous occasion, and they're times to be looked forward to, and they're times to be looked back on with great fondness. You see, that's what happens when you get saved. And Jesus came. He was sent by God into the world as our Savior. He came to deliver us from those things that were destroying us. He's the Savior who is Christ. Now, Christ is the title. That's his title. The Savior is his task. title, or Christ is his title, or it's his office, if you will. And the office of the Christ is that of, this is God's anointed person to bring about righteousness and peace in the world. See, all the way back to the very beginning of time, when sin first entered into the world and all of this destructiveness began to take place, God made a promise that he would send a deliverer. And the word that was used in the Hebrew was the word Mashiach, which we bring into English as Messiah. And the word means an anointed one. And so all throughout the biblical history, the Old Testament, there was this expectation of this anointed one that would come, this Messiah. And there were various places in the history of the people of Israel where God would speak through the prophets and he would give the promises of the Messiah's coming. One of the ones that's most familiar to many of us is the one that's found in the ninth chapter and the sixth verse of the prophecy of Isaiah. And you remember that one there. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. You see, that's the messianic part of it. The government shall be upon his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. So the Messiah, the Christ, he's going to come and he's going to rule the nations in righteousness. Oh, we long for that. Generation after generation has longed for some righteous reign. You know, it seems like as misguided as most politicians have been historically, they all seem to be aiming at the same thing, but everybody just has a different philosophy about how you're going to get there. But it's an ideal world, a perfect world, a world of peace, and a world where there's equity and there's righteousness. And of course, the problem is man's understanding of those things is completely faulted, so it never works out. But this is the task of the Messiah. This is what he's going to do. The government will be upon his shoulders, and of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. So the angel is telling these shepherds that this is what's happened today. There has been born to you this day in the city of David, the Savior, who is the Christ, the Messiah, has come. And then he said, the Savior who is Christ the Lord. The Lord. The Greek word here for Lord is the word that in the Old Testament was used to translate the name of God. In the Old Testament, the name of God is probably most accurately Yahweh. So in many places in the Old Testament, of course, the name Yahweh appears. Now, when the Old Testament, which was written in Hebrew, was translated into Greek, when they came to the name Yahweh, they would translate Yahweh with the Greek word kurios, which is the word here. For there is born to you this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord, or the kurios. So for those shepherds and everybody at that time, when they heard that the Savior was Christ the Lord, what they would understand is that the Savior, the Messiah, is Yahweh. He is God, the God of Israel, the God of all nations, the God of the universe. And so that was indeed the case. Jesus, his name means Yahweh is Savior. That's the meaning of the name Jesus. That's why the angels, we're told the angels spoke very specifically to Joseph that the child's name was to be Jesus, or Yeshua, the Hebrew pronunciation, because he is going to save his people from their sin. And so this is the message. These are the good tidings of great joy. We have a Savior. He's the Messiah. He's actually the Lord. But notice what the angel said. He said, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. See, the message of Christmas is a universal message. It's for all people. It's not just for a select group of people somewhere. It's not just for a particular ethnic group, or it's not just for people located in a certain geographical region of the world. You know, we live in a climate today where people think of Christmas and Christianity and all that. Well, you know, they say, well, you know, that's all Western. You know, that's sort of a Western religion. And then you've got your Eastern religions. And they don't seem to realize that Christianity did not originate in the West. But be that as it may, it is a universal message. It's to you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The message is for everyone. It's a universal message. Now, think with me for a moment, though. Let's go back to the scene itself. You have an angel who is bringing this message, and you have, in some ways, a very unexpected audience, or an audience that you wouldn't have anticipated. So thinking if we could just put ourselves in a place where you think, okay, so this is the greatest news ever. It's going to come as a pronouncement into the world. We're going to send the angel. He's going to proclaim the good tidings of great joy, tell about the birth of the Messiah who is the Savior and the Lord. Okay, where do we send him? Well, think of where he wasn't sent. He wasn't sent to the capital cities of the world. He wasn't sent to the palaces. He wasn't sent to the universities. He wasn't sent to the power centers of the world. No, he was sent to a field outside of a small village, the village of Bethlehem. And then think of, if we were doing all of this, think of who we would have sent the messenger to and who the messenger did not come to. The angel didn't visit the rulers of the world. He didn't visit Caesar. He didn't visit any of those governors that ruled under Caesar. He didn't even visit Jerusalem and the leadership in Jerusalem. He didn't visit the rulers. He didn't visit the dignitaries of the world. He didn't visit the scholars. He didn't visit the celebrities. That's not who the angel was sent to. Now, that's not because God doesn't have love and concern for those people. He does. He certainly does. He loves everyone. But God has made it clear all the way through, from one end of Scripture to the other, that he is the God who is for the underdog. That's just who he is. He's the God who looks out for those that are generally overlooked. And so we see that in the place the angel went. The angel went to a village, not a metropolis. The angel went to shepherds, not to rulers. And the shepherds were just an example of the common people. The shepherds were the most common of people. And that's who the angel was sent to. And the angel said to them, he said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord." The angel said to them, these shepherds, these lowly, common, ordinary, everyday people, he said, "The Savior is born to you." You see, that's the message of the gospel. Like I said earlier, it's a universal message to all people. But all people without prejudice, all people without preference. The Bible makes this perfectly clear. God is no respecter of persons, meaning God shows personal favoritism to no one. We live in a world where there's tons of favoritism shown to all kinds of people. And oftentimes it's based on your position in society. It's based on your wealth or lack thereof. In many cases, it's based upon things like race, skin color, and those kinds of things. There's all kinds of injustices and unfairness and preferential treatment of certain people, but not so the case with God. So God finds just this group of regular folks, the shepherds, and he sends the angel, go tell them. That's astounding if you think of it. You think of all the great people throughout history that God could have at any given point got this message to, but he doesn't. And even in the day that it comes, all of the great men are passed over. And it's these shepherds that the message comes to. Because God wants us to know that the message is for everyone without exception and without any prejudice. And sure, the greatest person in the world couldn't come, but no more than can the lowliest person in the world. Now, as the angel made this pronouncement and then directed them as to the location of where they could find the child, the babe, it says, and suddenly, in verse 13, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So now there's this angelic pronouncement, not just the angel singular, but now there's a multitude of heavenly host, and they're praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's the gospel right there. That's the message of Christmas. The message of Christmas is glory to God in the highest. God, of course, is the one who came up with the plan. God's the one who initiated the whole thing. It's all because of his mercy and grace. So glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. The message of Christmas is that God's will for man is good. God's desire for man is good. God's intentions for man are good. You know, some of the newer translations read a little bit differently. It says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace toward men of goodwill. Some of the newer translations read it that way. And there is a little bit of, there's different manuscripts that kind of word it a little bit differently. But I personally think those newer translations missed it on that, because if you switch it around and say that peace on earth is toward men of goodwill, then you just gutted the message of the gospel. Because the gospel is not a message toward men of goodwill. The gospel is a message for sinners. The gospel isn't a message like, hey, there's peace on earth for you good people. That's kind of what the other translation makes it say, but that's not the message of the gospel. The gospel is there's peace on earth because God's will toward man is good, because God is not imputing our trespasses to us, because God is not going to deal with us according to our sins. He's sending us a Savior who's going to take care of that. And so from heaven, there is goodwill toward men. There is grace. There is mercy. There is forgiveness. There is love. That's the message of Christmas.
We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together what Christmas is all about. Thank you for listening to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Brodesen. We hope that you are blessed by the practical and biblical principles for daily living found in the Word of God. For more information about the Back to Basics radio program or the teaching of Pastor Brian and our available resources, please visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com. That's backtobasicsradio.com. Or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. 4:3. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. And now, once again, here's Pastor Brian.
The wonderful proclamation of the angels, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people." Good tidings, good news. That's what Christmas is. It's the best news that could ever be given. And it's for everyone. It's for all people, all nations, tribes, tongues, because there is born to you this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord.
Basics is the listener-supported preaching and teaching ministry of Pastor Brian Brodersen.